This is the Paula Gordon Show, conversations with people at the leading edge, of whom there is no better exemplar than Elizabeth Marshall Thomas. Bill Russell and I are pleased to be with you here in Peterborough, New Hampshire.
We tend to think of leading edges as being solely forward-looking, and it's part of what makes this, you know, Paula says leading edge. She says that about historians sometimes. Mm-hmm. People say, nah, they're not leading edge, they're backward-looking. We're talking about people here who anatomically and culturally are very similar to people who lived 100,000 years ago.
And also identical to us.
Now, just how is it that this is leading edge?
I love the Thomas. Idea of not leading edge, but other side edge. Or I don't want to call it backwards.
Periphery.
Periphery, yeah. Periphery.
Well, and part of this, that sounds like I'm making fun of it, but we tend to think linearly. Mm-hmm. And again, I go back to that metaphor of the mothers holding hands, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and as if that leads boldly into a brilliant future. The old chain of being. Perspective, and it's much richer than that. We learn lessons and then we forget them and then we go astray and sometimes. But it really does seem to me that, and we were saying this in the break, this is the best psychology course I may have ever had in terms of what it means to be a human with other humans as well as human in the environment. And it seems to me as much as anything that's, I don't know if that's what was your intention, but one of the things you accomplished with this.
I'm glad to hear that. I don't think it was my intention. But I'm glad it worked out that way. That's very nice.
Well, having raised that, what was your intention? Why did you do this?
I wanted to re-examine the material we had seen and the experiences we'd had in the light of stuff that has been discovered in the intervening years,
including
which is a
your
lot.
Your own life experience as well?
That too, but I mean, it would be things like the antelopes are water independent. I mean, that may have been known, but it wasn't, I mean, certainly not to me, and it wasn't generally known. And I didn't hear anybody, I mean, I was there with various people from time to time who were old Africa hand type people, and I never heard it from them, so I don't think they knew. They would have said.
But, there's been a lot of biology flowering and being better understood, mm-hmm.
Oh,
in those
yeah.
50 years, hasn't there?
Yes.
And you've been reading it for 50
years. I've been reading quite a lot of it, yes. And there's been, so in other words, a great deal of stuff was known. Also, our human origins, the tongue, Raymond Dart, he discovered the Australopithecus in 1926. But because he was just a graduate student and a South African, he didn't have enough status to be the discoverer of this very important fossil. So it wasn't recognized as anything to do with our species until about the time we were starting our work. So
25 years later.
Yeah, 25 years later. So that was, and also the antiquity of the Bushmen. There were things about the antiquity of their culture that we didn't know. Someone came and studied their music and found that the music, his name was Nicholas England, he was a musicologist, found that there were some very important music which was used at a woman's first menarche called Eland music, was also present in other language groups of other Bushman language groups and other and also the Nama speakers, who are not exactly Bushman, but they're related. And these all have the same Eland music. And this means that way back before these groups diverged, somebody invented or composed Eland music. And then they took it with them.
And the eland is an animal.
And the eland is one of these water-independent antelopes, yes. And with the only animal with fat in its body, the only antelope with body fat.
Which says within the menarch recognition.
Yep. That we need some body fat in order to be able to menstruate or to be able to ovulate. And I think that's quite a wise evolutionary development, because better to wait until you have that rather than waste the the all the energy and
if you're starving, you're not going to be able to support the baby. It's going to take tremendous body energy to create and birth and take it. Mm-hmm. So the deep evolutionary wisdom, if you will, of many of these physical things. When my friend said, are there things to be learned? It was really thinking about your having had the experience and learning and coming back to share with us on about 7-11 different levels what you had seen and then be able to enrich it. What an awesome opportunity. Your mother also did that.
She, yes.
In a rather a different way, but your mother, Lorna Marshall, whom you gave us the honor of knowing a bit, was singular in her ability to help us understand. And you quote her a great deal in The Old Way. And she was, well, the word I keep thinking about, she, like the people that you met, she was awake.
She was very awake. She liked the people very much. They liked her very much. Named their kids for her. Now people, there were a lot of Lornas there after she had been there a while.
Yes. An ancient Bushman name.
Yeah, well, it became Norna. But other people too.
Go ahead.
Well, I said my word was primitive. There's a tendency to think of these people as primitive, but the corollary, I guess, to that is to think of them as ignorant.
Because
they don't know what we know. And again, reading this and, from being in that context, I mean, if I were to be set down in that context, I'd probably last half a day at the outside.
Exactly.
And part of it is, it is humbling, which is a good thing. But it is also, to me, it was a lesson in empathy and empathy attending to the world around you and making the appropriate adaptations. And these people were not ignorant. Their knowledge, frankly, was stunning. I mean, I was genuinely surprised. And the body fat is an example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
I mean, that's not obvious. The song would be about a creature who happens to have body fat, and they made all the connections, and it's and this goes back, tens of thousands of years.
Many thousands.
I'm not sure how long it was before these groups split apart, but many thousands.
So I ought to get over this thing about ignorance too. as long as I'm getting over thinking of them as primitive, I probably should stop thinking of them as ignorant as well.
I doubt that you ever thought of them as ignorant.
I now get to defend the leading edge part. One of the things I found immensely engaging about this, and every time, which is already repeatedly, every time I pick up The Old Way, a story of the first people, it's sort of like picking up a Bible. And I couldn't possibly mean that with more sincerity. Every time I pick it up for a moment or for the day, I see something that you've already told me, and I hear it again in another way. I see something I hadn't seen before. And we live at a time of such crisis on the planet that, and I mean the Bible part, because in a way you have captured the best and the worst and the mediocre of us to give us an enriched palette looking at the challenges that we face on this planet, as part of this planet, to say there's more to us than we've sort of narrowed ourselves down in specialties and in our separation and our differences and our individuality. Look at all that we are. Look at who we have been under very challenging circumstances. Well, why do you get fat in the summer? So that when it gets cold in the winter, you don't die. Well, there's a strategy for you. To begin to think about who we are in context seems to me to be an incredible gift to both have lived it and to render it and then to get feedback from people like me who say, really? Are you getting that kind of response from other people to say, oh, I didn't know that, or ooh?
well, some, yes. I haven't done very much, I haven't done very much talking about this book among people who didn't have some interest in this, a knowledge of the subject. I've talked to a lot of people who are in the world of anthropology and they're teaching anthropology, and they like the book. They feel they can use it as a text, a course book for for anthropology, but they wouldn't be inclined to ask that kind of thing.
Well, it seems to me that you have, in a new and different way, really kind of given me an atlas to what kind of animal I am. Whether I want to be looking at how we are in the weather system, how we are in what we think of as religious, how we are in terms of gender roles. It's an atlas. And I can spend the first three chapters saying, look how we evolved to this and what the forces are. And, oh, hunting, that's how far you can run. This is we evolved as a chasing animal, mm-hmm. not as a stabbing animal. Mm-hmm, as a, mm-hmm. the richness of this, it would seem to me, A, that you would just kind of pop with all this stuff that you are graced to know. But then I guess the flip of that is, how do you put all that into your own life? As you're a white person who lives in New Hampshire who has grandchildren.
I don't think I put it into my own life by, you asked me earlier about having a garden. We don't have a garden. We did. But we don't. And as a result, the natural world comes closer to the house. The less you meddle with what is going on around you, the more the natural world will come to you. And, I mean, I'm very aware of what is going on in the woods, of what is going on with the deer. Mammals in general, but sometimes some birds, larger mammals, but some small ones, not the little bitty ones. I don't know enough about them, and I can't see them except moles I can see. But I mean, this kind of thing, it gave me a way to look at the world, which I love doing and can't get enough of it, and have no intention of changing ever. In fact, I'm putting a conservation easement on my land so that nobody else is going to change it either.
Fix them.
And you've stayed more or less put.
Pardon me?
You've stayed more or less put. You know this land. You're not passing through.
No.
I mean, we're all passing through. But isn't there something of that, too? These Bushmen knew the territory, but they didn't. They didn't go to Paris for the weekend.
No. But they did travel a lot. But they each group and each individual had birthrights to be at a certain. You had the right to drink the water and live at the area where there was water, in the place you were born. And I mean, people's mothers didn't just pass through and have a baby there. That wasn't ever. Possibly happened, but was not something that was taken into account. So it was just your birthplace was your clore, and where you had rights. And this is my clore. I mean, this is.
She says good. With a click in her mouth. We'll be back shortly with a couple more minutes with Elizabeth Marshall Thomas. Join us.